Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Shkam, daf Chaf Aleph. We are coming to a conclusion to the Masechta. We should be finished with it tomorrow. Hopefully that'll happen. But in the meantime, however, we're plodding along. And we are on daf Chaf Amud Aleph, and we're starting today with a Mishnah. The Mishnah is right in the middle of the Amud. And yesterday, a nice discussion in the Gemara, an interesting discussion in the Gemara regarding Basar Shenesalim and Ha'ayin, what happens when meat is no longer visible to the eye of the Jew. So is that meat okay? Is that meat not okay? From the Mishnah, it sounds like the meat's okay. The Gemara noted that Rav went to Bavel, and he was machmer on this issue. This is one of his issues that he took up in life, and he authored it in Bavel. And so we discussed that and a number of examples of that yesterday, and that's how we ended yesterday's daf. We start today with the Mishnah, and we're now finding animals wandering around Yerushalayim. Now, the chances are that animal is a carbon. It's a good chance that the animal is a carbon, meaning animals walking around Yerushalayim are basically there for either the sale or the use of a carbon. So there's a very good chance that's a carbon. So the Mishnah says, we start with the Mishnah, Be'emesh nimtzas Yerushalayim, if I find an animal in Yerushalayim, Ba'ad Migdal Eder, anywhere from Yerushalayim to Migdal Eder. So basically, we do this often in the Mishnayos. We're basically going to draw a radius line from Yerushalayim to Migdal Eder. Please don't ask me what Migdal Eder is. I don't know. Near Bethlehem? Okay. So Migdal Eder is somewhere near Bethlehem. So, and what you do is you draw a radius line, and then you draw a perimeter using that radius. And so any animal found from Yerushalayim to Migdal Eder, so the male animal is going to be an ola and a keva, and the female animal is going to be a shlamim. Now that statement of the Mishnah, really hard to comprehend, meaning that is a huge assumption that we're about to make. That we find an animal, a male animal, that animal's an ola. Like we know that's an ola, or we're just suspicious that it's an ola. Right? From the Mishnah, the simple pshat on the Mishnah is, no, we're saying it's an ola. Okay, so stay tuned because the Gemara is going to discuss it, and the Gemara is just going to ask the obvious question, well, how do we know? I mean, I certainly understand the idea that we can suspect that it's an Ola, but to know it's an Ola and to know it's a Shlamim, and the idea that we know it's an Ola, meaning you could also bring a male animal as a Shlamim, it's possible. Female animal can't be brought as an Ola, that we know. But a male animal could be brought as a Shlamim. Okay, so it seems to be a very big assumption, so we're going to get to the Gemara and we're going to discuss it. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, I write Lepsachim, Lepsachim, Kodal Regal, Lama Yom. Rabbi Yehuda says, let's say you find a goat or a lamb within the first year in Yerushalayim, 30 days before Pesach, so that's enough contextual clues. That basically tells you it's a carbon Pesach. And so Rabbi Yehuda says you can assume that's a carbon Pesach given all these contextual clues. Now, together with every carbon comes nesachim. Nesachim is, we translate as libations. It's wine, it's oil, it's flour that comes together with every carbon. So let's say you find a carbon. Okay, you were just walking through Yerushalayim, and you pass by an animal. The animal's lost. No siman, no way of identifying who the owner of the animal is. And now what you do is you want to try to find the owner. You can't. Okay, so it's now your carbon. You're going to bring the carbon. Fine. And again, if it's a male, it's an ola. If it's a female, it's a shlamim. All fine and well.
Why are you concerned if it's a female? It could be a korban chatos.
Could be, right?
But that's very, very strict. No?
Correct. I guess the chatos also is just not as common. You know, a lot of these assumptions are based on what's common. So for a chatos to be just kind of running around, okay. So you're going to bring it as a carbon. But now the Beis HaMikdash says to you, you know, it's very nice that you found it. Very nice that you brought it here. Nesachim. Okay, good. New pay. Pay up for Nesachim. So, and as we learned in the previous Mishnah, it's still in the Masechta. So that means that you got to go get a receipt. You got to pay, get a receipt, hand the receipt in, get your Nesachim. What do you mean? I'm going to pay? I didn't do anything right. I didn't do anything wrong. I just found a carbon. I'm bringing the carbon here. And now I have to pay for the Nesachim. So originally the policy was, okay, you don't want to pay, you'll pay. And they went and they froze assets and they did things to encourage payment. You like that, encourage payment. I'm very politically adept today. So they did things to encourage payment. So to which the public response was, so then the response was, okay, I see a lost animal in Yerushalayim. No, thank you. Right, so you write, you run away. So hitkina beisin shiu nesecha by mishoftim. So therefore, the conclusion was they realized that that's just too difficult and too onerous for the finder when all he did was just found an animal. So therefore, what they said is okay, we'll foot the bill. Right, we'll cover the cost of the nesachim. We, meaning public money, so they tapped into public money in order to pay for the nesachim of these lost animals.
The financial benefit that the finder finds doesn't far outweigh the cost of a nesachim. Like, I mean, the guy is actually getting a carbon for free.
Yeah, but he's not. I don't know what kind of credit he's getting for the carbon. Meaning, it's not his carbon. He wasn't mocked just the carbon.
Going to be offered on his behalf?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm Rabbi Shimon, Zayin Dvarim, Hitkinu Beisdin, V'zu Echad Mehem. Okay, so now, as long as we're here, says the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah now going on a tangent. As long as we're here, so let's discuss now seven times where basically a takana was made, an institution was made, and the decision was made to tap into public money. So you think this is like a new debate that takes place amongst governmental bodies. Like, when do we tap into public monies? No, it's not new. This is a Mishnah in Shkalim, as we're approaching now the end of Shkalim, where basically seven times they made a decision, an executive decision, that we're going to tap into public monies. Number one. This is correct. Phil's right. Meaning, we already went through one of them. One of them was the case we just discussed. So now there's going to be six others. So let's say a non-Jew brings a carbon. A non-Jew can bring a carbon, as we've discussed time and again. Yes. A non-Jew can bring a carbon ola to the base of Mikdash, have it offered on the base of Mikdash. Now, he's also going to bring the sachim for the carbon. Fine. So if he puts some coins together with the animal and says, here's my animal and here's some coins for the nesachim. So that's great. So kreve mishalo. So he paid for it. However, im lav, kreve mishal tzibor. But let's say the guy brings a karbon and he didn't bring any money for the nesachim. So what do? Nesachim come out of public monies. So it's another time where public monies was diverted to be used for karbonos. V'chein gersha meitz v'niach zevachim im yesh nesachim kreve mishalo v'im lav. Krev Mishal Tzibor. Right, let's say you have a ger. Now the reason why we use the example of ger, the Mishnah uses the example of ger, because once a ger converts, so he has no family. He has no legal family. So now when he dies, so if there's any estate, so then fine. But if there's no estate, and he dies penniless, so then what are you going to do? So answer, the animal that he was makdish while he was alive will be offered, and the nesachim will be paid for from, once again, Tzibor money, public money. Another time we tap into public money is that's when the Kohen Gadol dies. Why do we need to tap into public money when the Kohen Gadol dies? Because we know that the Kohen Gadol has a special mincha that he needs to offer daily. The Minchas Chavitin. We're going to be spending a lot of time today talking about this mincha of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so shortly enough I'll get a chumash and we'll go through Pesukim together. But in the meantime, just for our purposes, all we need to know is that the Kohen Gadol brings a mincha every day. It's an Isaron, a tenth of an Eifa, and what we do, what the Kohen Gadol does is he divides it, he offers half in the morning, half in the afternoon. Okay. What if he dies? So the Torah describes the Minchas Chavitim as a daily offering. So with or without Kohen, it has to be a daily offering. It just happens to be that as long as there's a Kohen Gadol, so the Kohen Gadol becomes the one responsible for it, out of his pocket. But what if he dies? So another Tanai Beis Din, another time where you dip into Shel Tzibor, you dip into public money. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishal Yorshim, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says no. You go to the heirs. So Rabbi Yehuda does not feel that this is one of the takanas of Beis Din. This is not an area where we dip into public money. Okay, he debates this one. Ushleim Ha'isa Kreva, and then the Mishnah says, and oh by the way, as long as we're talking about the Minchas Chavitin, just one other point to make, and that is that if there's a Kohen Gadol. So it gets divided, and half of it's born in the morning, half it's born in the afternoon. That's if. But if there's no Kohen Gadol, and this is coming out of pocket, either public money according to the Tanna Kamma, or heirs' money according to Rabbi Yehuda, so then it's not divided, but rather it's brought whole. The Gemara is going to ask a simple question later on. What does that mean? Whole in the morning and whole in the afternoon? Or whole once? Okay, the Gemara is going to ask that question later on. Ala melech v'ala'etim shiu akonim ne'osim behem. Another institution that was made is that salt and wood is not subject to the Isra of Me'ilah and the Kohen can enjoy and use them in the Beis HaMikdash. Let's think about this for a moment. Okay, salt in the Beis HaMikdash, sure. Every carbon needs salt. The Torah says that when you have a carbon, you're about to offer it, so you first salt it, and then you put it up onto the Mizbeach. So there's salt. That salt is property of whom? Property of the Beis HaMikdash. So if you and I were to sit down and enjoy some of that salt, that would be called an Isra of Me'ilah. The Kohanim, however, are allowed to use that salt, and they're not subject to the laws of Me'ilah. Now, for their own personal use. Meaning, imagine, the Kohen over there in the Beis HaMikdash that day is bringing a Karban Chatas. And now, Karban Chatas, what's the din by Karban Chatas? The Kohen sits down and eats the meat. Okay, wonderful, but it could use a little salt. So what the Mishnah is telling us is that the Kohen can take from the Beis HaMikdash a little bit of the salt and use it to salt his meat. And he's not in violation of Me'ilah. Now, how does that work? Tanai Beis Din. Once again, stipulation of Beis Din, where even though that salt is property of Hekdesh and it's public money, and under normal circumstances that would be called misappropriation, but the understanding is that this is the Kohen, he's running the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be nearly impossible for him not to use the salt. So Tanai Beis Din, a stipulation of Beis Din is that he could use the salt and the wood as well, meaning for whatever purposes you want wood over there to cook the Karban Chatos, whatever the case is. Another Tanai Beis Din, and that is the ashes of the Paraduma. The ashes of the Paraduma are not subject to the Isser of Me'ilah. Now, the Paraduma is a quasi-carbon, right? It's not Shecht in the Beis HaMikdash, but it has Kedusha, it has sanctity. And any time that you benefit from the actual cow itself, the Paraduma cow itself, so you're in violation of Me'ilah, but once burnt and reduced to ash, there is no Isser of Me'ilah by the ashes. Even though, by the way, the ashes are really the most important part, meaning that's what we want. We want the ashes so that anyone who is Tameh can receive the Tahara by the ashes being mixed with Mayim Chaim, right, with the spring water.
So the
Gemara is going to discuss by the end of today's year. We're going to get to the Gemara. The Gemara is going to discuss: is this a din d'oraisa? Is this a din d'rabbanan? From our mission, it sounds like a din d'rabbanan because the mission is lumping this together with all the other takanas based on. So what does that mean? That min haTorah there is an isser of Me'ilah by the ashes. Stay tuned. We're going to get to that later in the Gemara.
Why do we have to say that? Hashem says you have to use the ashes anyway.
Correct. You certainly have to use the ashes, but Me'ilah is only by property of Beis HaMikdash. Once reduced to ash, so there may not be. We'll talk about it later. There may not be an Isser Me'ilah once it's been reduced to ash. Okay, we'll talk about it. Ve'ala kinam apsulo shiyuhu va'os mishal tzibor. And look, as we discussed already a number of times, you have 13 pushkas. The third pushka in the Beis HaMikdash was for kinam. That's for birds. Where someone deposits their money in order to buy a pair of birds, one bird will be a chatz, the other bird will be an ola, and they'll get a kapara. What if the money doesn't make it into the pushka for whatever reason? The money lands on the side of the pushka. So what did we discuss earlier in the Masechta? That if it's closer to the pushka of kinim, you'll put in the pushka of kinim. Mechza, what if it's right in between kinim and gozle ola? So what did we learn earlier in the Masechta? That we're going to take the money and put it into gozle ola. Oh my gosh, but that person who, if that money belonged to Kinem, and if that person, wasn't that person expecting to get a kapara from that money? Answer? To Shel Tzibor. So the Tzibor, public money, will cover that difference. Meaning if we find out after opening up the Kinem chest that the money was actually belonging to the Kinem money, there was in the accounting, we found that there was a little bit less money there. So the public money is now going to cover the loss. And Rabbi Yossi Omer Masapik is the kinim, Omer Masapik is the psulos. And Rabbi Yossi disagrees with this one. He says, no, that is not the public money that's going to pay for that. You know who's going to pay for that? The vendor. The one contracting with the Beis HaMikdash. So he, part of his contract is going to be, not only does he have to supply birds to the Beis HaMikdash for people who paid, but even people who may have paid. Meaning that's part of the contractual obligation of the vendor. And so therefore, in a scenario where somebody may or may not have paid, and his claim is that he paid, and the money was just simply lost, so the vendor is going to make up for that lost bird. Okay? And as we discussed time and again, that whenever contracting with the Beis HaMikdash, Yad Hekdesh Al HaElyona. They have the upper hand on this issue. Okay, first things first, we're going to discuss the first case of our Mishnah, and that is finding an animal wandering around the Yerushalayim area, anywhere from Yerushalayim to Migdal Eder. And our Mishnah said, if you find a male, so it's an Ola, and if you find a female, it's a Shlamim. To which the Gemara discusses, we're on the very bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yoshi, Rabbi Amar, Levo B'demeim Shanu. So he says, we're not talking about bringing the animal as a carbon. That's not what the Mishnah is talking about, although the Mishnah doesn't sound that way, but that's not what the Mishnah is talking about, but rather the value of the animal. Meaning what we're going to do is we're going to transfer the value of the animal onto money and then use that money for, well, it depends. If the animal that I found was a male animal, we'll use the money for an Ola. If the animal that I found was a female animal, we'll use the money for a Shlamin. So Amalei Rav Yochanan, Amalei Laladim, Seil Mal B'Kachim. So Rav Yochanan says, no, what? You can't do that. Meaning, let's think about this. I found an animal. It's a male animal. Okay. So we don't know for sure it's a male, it's a carbon Ola. So we're just going to transfer the Kedusha from the animal to money. You can't do that. Meaning, what does the animal have? The animal has Kedusha as a goof. If the animal is an Ola. Okay, let's put the all under the umbrella if. But if the animal is actually a carbon Ola, you can't take the Kedusha and just simply transfer it to money. So Rav Yochanan asks a very simple question. What are we talking about? Ela hilcho bahan achar rovim rov zecharim olos im rov nekevot zivchei shlamim. So Rav Yochanan says, look, we're just going to use the principle of rov. Most male animals are applied towards the carbonola. Most female animals are applied towards the shlamim. Therefore, our mission is to be taken much more literally. The animal itself is offered as an Ola. The animal itself is offered as a Shlamim. So the Gemara says, even that approach, it's a difficult approach. Yeah, but you can bring a Shlamim from male or female. So if I find a male animal, what's the argument? Well, most male animals are Ola. That's not true. And male animals could also be a Shlamim as well. You literally don't know. So Kate said who Oseh, so the Gemara now, I'm a little bit lost in terms of who's speaking right now in the Gemara. But what Kate said who Oseh, what do you do? So the Gemara's answer is, wait till it develops a blemish. Now I know the Gemara doesn't say that. So and it gets a little tricky at this point in time in the Gemara. But wait till the animal gets a blemish. After the animal develops a blemish, then sell the animal, then use the proceeds for, again, if it's a male animal you found, use the proceeds for an Ola. If it's a female animal that you find, use the proceeds for a Shlamim. Okay. Adkan period. So now, a better understanding of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah does not mean that you're actually going to assume the male animal is an Ola, or that the female animals are Shlamim, but rather, what you're going to do is you're going to say that that you wait till it develops a blemish, and then the proceeds of that sale is going to go either to an Ola or a Shlamin, depending on whether the animal was male or female. Amar Rebbe Zeira, top of Chaf Amud Beis. Kamadat Amar Taman Tanai Beis in Huala, Mosaro, Sheikrivu Olos, Kenat Ma'at Amar Avhacha Tanai Beis in Huala, Vudo, Sheikrivu Olos. So the Gemara says, you know, we can go back to the simpler approach. Why not? Meaning Tanai Beis in. Right? Didn't we say earlier that when the money was found between Kinim and Goz Leolos, what did we say? Take the money and put in Goz Leolos. To which we asked, that money may be Chatas money. What are you doing? You're going to take Chatas money and put it into the Goz Leola, which then means that you're taking Chatas money and moving it towards an Ola? So you can't do that. So what was our answer? Tanai Beis Din. A precondition that was set forth by Beis Din that when anyone puts money in, the understanding is that money can be fungible. And that money can be reassigned for another purpose. So over here also, an animal gets lost, and we don't know, oh, it's an Ola, it's a Shlamim, and I may be converting it to another type of carbon. So the Gemara is basically saying, can't we just simply say Tanai Beis Din? So I'm Rav Yosi, Rav Yaakov, Baracha, Ein Zeh Mezid, meaning on purpose you could do that? Meaning in the scenario that we talked about earlier with the coin falling between the two pushkas. So that was an accident. That was a mistake. So there we'll employ a principle of Tanai Beis Din. But over here, deliberately, So Amalei Mekevin Shu Tanai Beis, the name's Amazed. So the Gemara's answer is no, this don't call this Amazed. Meaning this is not a case of Amazed. I mean, think about it. The animal was lost, now recovered, now it's going to be offered by the person who found it. This is not exactly a case of Amazed. Amr Rav Yasa ad the Anataman Shamat's called Rav Yehuda Shal Shmuel. Okay, we've seen this formula a number of times. I was there, I was in Bavel, and I overheard discussions between Rav Yehuda and his Rebbe Shmuel. Here for Shiklo Meis, a person sets aside his shekel and he dies. What does he do? Amr Le Yiplu Nadava. So it goes towards Nadava, that money. We discussed earlier why it should go to Nadava, why can't it just simply be used, be brought as a machz, as a shekel. Possibly it has to do with the fact that the money, part of that money is going to be used to buy carbon chatas, money coming from a dead person to buy carbon chatas. Okay, we discussed that. Umoser asiris ha'eifa shalom. Now if there's any additional surplus of asiris ha'eifa, of the Kohen Gadol, of Yochanan Mar Yolecham Liyam HaMelech, so this machlokus we already saw earlier, what do I do with surplus of the Asir Saif of the Kohen Gadol? So Rav Yochanan says, dispose of it. There's nothing to do with it. Rav Elazar Mar Yipul Nadava. And once again, the you send it into Nadava, into one of the last six pushkas. Okay. We're now going to be discussing at length the Minchas Chavitin. The daily mincha that's offered by the Kohen Gadol. Okay, you open up a chumash, open up to Parshas, was it Tzav? Perek Vav, right, Pasuk Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tes Vav. Okay, that's it. Okay, 6:13, easy to remember in terms of where to find it in a chumash, Vayikra 6:13. Vaidaber Hashem Moshe Lamor Zek Karban Aaron Uvanav Asher Yekruvel Hashem B'Yom Hi Mashach Vaso Asir Saif Asos Mincha Tamid Machatzisa Baboker Machatzisa Ba'arev. There really are this small little parsha can be a little bit confusing for the following reason, because over here we are discussing a mincha offering offered by a kohen under two circumstances. Circumstance number one: it's your first day in the working in the Beis Hamikdash. It's your inaugural day, right? Opening day, but not opening day for the Beis Hamikdash, meaning you're starting the big leagues. So the first time that you get up to do the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, so you, not a kohen gadol, any kohen, you bring a special carbon, asir sa'if asos mincha tamid machatzisa baboker machatzisa barav. So that's one carbon. That's one situation where you're going to bring this this type of mincha. Another one's going to be where you're the kohen gadol. If you're the Kohen Gadol, you bring this daily. Every day you bring in the Asir Sa'ifa. The Torah describes where you divide it. Half of it goes in the morning, half of it goes in the afternoon. Okay. And then the Torah describes exactly how it's prepared. Al-Machvas Bashemen Ta'aseh Merveches Tiviena Tufine Minchas Pitim Takriv Rech Nichoch LaHashem. Baked, fried. Okay, a little bit unclear exactly how this mincha is prepared. The Gemara is actually going to discuss in just a moment in terms of what happened. And the Kohen who is anointed over his brothers, meaning Kohen Gadol, so he's going to offer this forever. And it's totally burnt. And oh, by the way, this is true by any mincha offered by a Kohen, where under normal circumstances a mincha is brought by a non-kohen, so a kamitza is offered on the mizbeach, and the rest of it is eaten by the kohanim. Kohanim sit down for a sandwich, a mincha sandwich. But if a kohen's bringing a mincha, so then the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach. Later on, the Gemara is going to ask a simple question. Let's say it's a kohen gadol who also happens to be serving for the first time in the Beis Hamikdash. So does he need to bring two? Okay, so one because he's Kohen Gadol, and one because this is his inaugural time of doing the Avodah. The Gemara later on will ask that very question. Okay, that's the parsha that discusses Minchas Chavitin. And so now the Gemara is going to discuss this at length. A whole series of questions are going to be asked. Let's start in the Gemara. We are on Chaf Amud Beis. And starting with the words, Rabbi Yochanan Amar. I'm sorry. Rabbi Yehuda Nadav Asir Shoshokom. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Chutz Asa.
No.
Right.
He didn't finish
Asir Seifa. Rabbi Lazar, Asir Seifa Shal Kohen Gadol. Okay, good. So the Asir Seifa of the Kohen Gadol. So Rav Yochanan says, here's procedure, right? And how many times have we seen this where the Amoraim are arguing about what's the proper procedure of Karban? Okay, Amoraim living now hundreds of years after the Beis Hamikdash, but this to them was as relevant and as important as the parts of the Torah which are Nogea. So the Rav Yochanan says, here's the procedure. Divide, and afterwards the Mekadesh. So in other words, we know what the total is. The total is for that day, Asir Saifa. It's a tenth of an Eifa. Right? Eifa, 432 eggs, volumes of eggs. So a tenth is 43.2. Fine. So divide it, and then be Mekadesh. Or Shimon Melakish, or Mekadesh of Acharkach, Chutz HaAsor. Reish Lakish says, no. You first combine it as a total unit. You're Mekadesh in a Kli Shareis. Then, and only then, does it get divided. Okay? So, look, it's we all in agreement that it's one Asir Seifa for the day, but basically each half is considered its own independent unit, or no? It's really one unit of Asir Seifa that's divided into two. That's the essentially the machlokas.
Once it hits
Kishar, because Kaz Kedushas Aguf. Good. So that's fine. It's going to be offered today. So that's not a problem. So Osa Masnitsa Pliga Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, I think I can point to the Mishnah arguing with Rabbi Yochanan. Why? So Makriv Mechsa Umechsa Avad. Because what does the Mishnah describe? Now this Mishnah over here is describing the following scenario. Kohen Gadol offered his morning half, and then unfortunately Kohen Gadol died that very day. Okay, the show's got to go on. Tragic. It's terrible, but the avodah's got to continue. So what do you do? Makriv mechsa, half of his offering was offered. Umechsa avad. And the other half? Okay, gets destroyed. So the question the Gemara is basically asking is, according to Rav Yochanan, why? It wasn't nikdash. It was first divided. And then, as each one was being offered, it was mukdash. So according to Rav Yochanan, why have to destroy the second half? It hasn't received yet kedusha zaguf. So the Gemara's answer in defense of Rav Yochanan is, no, it still needs to be destroyed. Look, even if all the Kohen Gadol had was money, which was going to be applied towards his daily mincha offering, that also needs to be destroyed. So if the money needs to be destroyed, even if the flour hasn't hit Ikli Sharis and hasn't been invested with Kedusha Saguf, it still needs to be destroyed. Masisa pliga Rabbi Shimon Malakish. The Gemara says, I'll cite you now a Mishnah that goes against Reish Lakish. What is it? Nimsu shnei chatzaim kreven shnei chatzaim avudim. The price over here, or Mishnah over here, is describing the following. Again, Kohen Gadol has offered his mourning. He died. And then, without any delay, the next Kohen Gadol was installed that very day. Okay? So, now he's going to have to bring a minchas chavitin. Now, what is he going to do? Is he just going to take the second half of the first Kohen Gadol that morning? No, that's not what he's going to do. He's going to prepare his own Asiris Ha'efa, and then he's going to bring half of it in the afternoon. What about the other half? Avudin. It's going to get lost. So now, let's take a sum total of what happened today. What happened today is that one Kohen Gadol died, one Kohen Gadol got installed, and we're going to look at it from a very limited perspective. What's going to happen with the Minchas Chavitin? What's going to happen is that at the end of the day, the sum total is one Eifa is being offered on the Beis HaMikdash, one Eifa is lost. Why? Because the Kohen Gadol in the morning, his half Eifa was offered on the Beis HaMikdash, his second half was lost, and the new Kohen Gadol, his half Eifa is going to be offered on the Beis HaMikdash, on the Mizbeach, and the other half is lost. So sum total, one Eifa offered, one Eifa lost. To which, so far so good, no.
If it is second Kohen Gadol, isn't it issue of Baal Tashchit and everything else?
Okay, but the Baal Tashchit is only when there is no reason why.
Yeah, but this is like,
correct. But here, I mean, the mitzvah is to take an Eifa and to divide it. Okay. So far, so good. No problem. Here's the problem. Problem is that we have a Braisa, and the Braisa says that as far as the destruction of the two halves of the ephah which never made it to the Mizbeach, don't do it right away. Wait. Wait till tomorrow where it develops a psul, then and only then it's going to be destroyed. Ibur Tzura. So now according to Reish Lakish, the Gemara's question is why? Why would you have to wait until tomorrow? Reish Lakish says that first, sorry, the Reish Lakish says that first you mekadesh it, and then you divide it. So according to Reish Lakish, it has kedushas haguf, and it's no longer being used. So why do I have to wait till tomorrow? Meaning, I already know now that it's being invested with kedushas haguf and not being used. It already has a psul shebegufo. So you don't have to wait. Why do you have to wait? Why are we waiting until tomorrow? Because it's no longer can be used. In other words,
are they arguing that it's a function of time that it cannot be used?
If we hold like Rav Yochanan and it wasn't actually even put into the Kli Sharet, so then yes, and then we need to now a new psul. But according to Reish Lakish, where it was actually placed into the Kli Sharet, so now it's invested with Kedushas Haguf. And it can't be used anymore, so why wait? So the Gemara's answer to that is, and it's a very cryptic answer of the Gemara, so Pata la ke Rabbi Yishmael, da Amar, Isaron Mekadesh, Isaron Mekadesh. So the Gemara's answer is, well, when we're Mekadesh in an Isaron. Very cryptic answer of the Gemara. Not totally clear how the Gemara is defending Reish Lakish. It could very well be that what the Gemara means is that even though Reish Lakish says, yeah, first I put into a kli, maybe it's not a kli sharis. Maybe it's just a simple measuring cup. What the Gemara here refers to as an Isarim. And since it's a simple measuring cup and not a kli sharis, so that's why we need Ibur Tzura. Okay, yes, Danny. Okay. Kishakon mekarev tchila lavoda mevi asir seifa shelo vavoda biyado echakon gadol vechakon hedjot shavdu ad shelo heviu asir seifa shelahem avoda san kshera. We have a brisa. The brisa over here just lays out the basics in terms of the kohen. The brisa says that whenever you have a kohen first offering doing a zavoda, so he brings asir seifa, meaning over here 6:13 by perek vav pasuk yud gimel yudalit describes this mincha as being offered by Cohen in his inauguration. And afterwards he does the avoda. Now, echad Cohen gadol v'echad Cohen hedjot. Now, this is irrespective of whether he's a Cohen gadol or not. Sha'abdu ashalo evias, he'll say, fishlam avodasam kshera. And interestingly enough, let's say he doesn't bring it. Can he serve in the Beis HaMikdash without bringing it? So the Braisa says yes. Yes, he can. Meaning it's not ma'akev. It's a mitzvah for him to bring his inaugural mincha, but if he doesn't bring it, his avod is still going to be kshera. Okay, and there are different girsos over here. If you look at the gon over here has a different girso altogether. Avodah sapsula is the girso of the gon, which means it is a ma'akev, is the conclusion of the braisa. Okay, small difference between whether it is or it is a ma'akev. I know it's not a small difference, but okay. Rabbi Mana by Meimar Baba Yom Shneskar Tchila Lavoda Baba Yom Nistam Liyos Kohen Gadol Mevi Shtayim Achas Echinucha VeAchas Echovas Hayom. And the Gemara over here projects or suspects that in the event that it's, let's say, two things are happening, he is assuming the position of Kohen Gadol, and it's the first time he's ever doing the avoda. Now imagine what a rarity. Meaning, right? Assuming the position of Kohen Gadol, you have now assumed like the position. So most
the analogy, like Chief Justice Robert, he became a Supreme Court Justice and a Chief Justice.
Correct. It's highly unusual that this would happen. But in the event that this happened, where you had someone who was totally inexperienced in the avoda, who's assuming the position of Kohen Gadol, so what he's suggesting is two eifas that day, one for because it's an inaugural day, and two because he's a Kohen Gadol. Fine. Okay. I know everyone could cite. Everyone's got their example they could cite. Tufine, next topic of discussion. Okay, the Gemara is kind of just jumping around over here. Why the Gemara right now is spending so much time discussing the Asir Saif of the Mincha offered by the Kohen Gadol I'm not sure. Unclear why the Gemara is spending this much ink, and it doesn't bother me. It's fine. It's all good. It's just we could be discussing we could be discussing this in Menachos. We could be discussing. I mean, our Mishnah kind of just like, you know, tucked it into the Shkalim. It's not really the main point of the Mishnah in Shkalim. So okay, but the Gemara just is, you know, it's interesting. Tufine. So b'shah haba tufine ve'im b'shachir is tufine. So the Gemara says, so when do I bake? Right, tufine from the word ofem. So when do we do the baking? So we do it right fresh, right before we offer it, not early in the morning. So tufine v'hatani na'amido seh chavitin la'asos chavitin. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah and Tami says they're doing it early in the morning. So I'm Rabbi Chia baracha la'asos chamim l'revucha. So the Gemara says, no, we're not baking in the morning, they're preparing in the morning, getting the water to boil, because they're gonna be boiling this mincha as well. Tufine Rabbi Yasa b'shem Rabbi Chanina mitagna v'achar kach ofa. Okay, we're gonna be doing two things over here. We're gonna be baking it, we're gonna be frying it. What's first? So if I look at the Pesukim in Chumash, Al machvas b'shem en te'aseh, right, I'm now in 6:14, right, Al machvas b'shem en te'aseh, Mor veches to Vienna, tufine minchas pitim. So it first sounds like we're going to be frying it, right? On a pan in oil, we're going to be frying it. And then the Torah says, tufine, then we're going to be baking it. So a simple reading of the pasuk is that fried, boiled, right? Fried, baked. So Rabbi Yosef b'shem Rabbi Chinim and Tagnava achar kach ofel so. First fry it, then bake it. Okay, which I think is a simple reading of the Chumash. Certainly you could disagree. Rabbi Acha b'shem Rabbi Chanina, ofa osav achakich metagna. He says, no, just the opposite. First bake and then fry. Tufine, and why? Tufine is a contraction of two words. Te'afena na. Right, under bake it. Now, in other words, na, we were familiar with the term na. We saw by the Karm Pesach. The Torah says regarding the Karm Pesach, lo sochlumi menu na. Don't eat it partially roasted. Na means something which is under roasted, under baked, undercooked. So over here, when it says tufine, it's a contraction of bake it partially. Why am I baking it partially? Because it's going to be par baked, then fried. Rabbi Omer to teafena na'em. I know, tufine is not a contraction of teafena na, but rather na'eh, make it nice. Not sure how that translates into practical terms, but make it nice.
It gets black when you fry it. It's not
pretty
anymore.
Well, okay, that's okay, good.
Maybe that's what I mean.
Could be. Rabbi Dosa Amar teafena riba. So the teafena riba, like make a lot, make it... I was going to say make a lot of it. I mean that can't be because it's a very specific amount of flour. Right, Phil, this is exactly what you suggested, that the teafena na'eh is first bake it then fry it, because if I fry it first and then bake it, it's going to get dark and black and you know you're frying, you're burning it. So no, first bake it then fry it. And the one who says teafena na, so first fry it, then bake it. Period. Okay, so a machlokus in the Gemara in terms of we know it undergoes baking and frying. Which one's first? Machlokus amongst Gemarain. Lo sof davar shemeisa la'afilu nitma ve'afilu nitche mimum. Now we know that if the Kohen Gadol dies, so the show's got to go on. And we're going to get another Asir Sa'ifa being brought for the remainder of that day. And it's being paid for by, okay, Machlokas at our Mishnah, either by heirs or by public money. What if the Kohen Gadol didn't die, but in other words, out of service, out of commission? He became incapacitated Kohen Gadol. So he becomes Tameh, or he's a Baal Mum. So Tani Rabbi Yehuda Bar Pazi de Bar Dalia ve'afilu nitcha mimum. He believes that even if it's just a blemish that won't permanently disqualify him, but temporarily disqualifies him. Minan the Kohen Gadol shemeis v'lo aminu achir tachzav shitei minchaso kreva mishal yorshim. How do I know that if he dies and we don't have a replacement, no new installment has been done right away? How do I know that the Yorshim have to pay? Now remember that in our mission, that was one opinion. Tamalomer mi banav yaseh osa. It's a pasuk. But according to Mashiach, Tachtav mi banav. Okay, again, not the simple pshat in the pasuk, but still. So mi banav means it comes from his kids. So Minchas Kriva Mishal Yorshim Tamalomer mi banav yaseh. Okay, so now the kids are paying for the mincha of the Asir Saifa. So maybe they only need to bring half because the dad brought the first half in the morning. So Tamalamar Osa Kula. Nope, they have to bring it whole. They have to bring a full Eifa. So Kula Marti Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Amar Eino Ba Ela Mishel Tzibor. Shenemer Chak Olam Mishabitz Krusolo. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Good. Consistent with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is of the opinion that if the Kohen Gadol dies, so then, yes, the show's got to go on, and yes, we're going to offer it, but the money that's going to be used to pay for it is coming out of public money. Kalil taktar, kalil lahaktara, it's totally burnt on the Mizbech. Kohen Gadol Shemes. More talk on the Asiri Sa'ifa, the Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol Shemes, Rabbi Babar Mama by Mechafa Shitaseid Rabbi Shimon. Seems to be that there's an inconsistency in Rabbi Shimon. Taman Amar Mishal Yorshin, V'hach Amar Mishal Tzibor. In other words, in a Braisa, it says that Rabbi Shimon says it comes from the Yorshin, but meanwhile, in our Mishnah, it says it comes from the Tzibor. Amar Rabbi Chia Barba V'lo Yerhu Maksha. That's a good question. Okay, he wants to support the question. That's a good question. Asa Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha Rabbi Abba B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan Dvar Torah Hu Sheteba Min Tzibor. It is a din d'oraisa that it should be coming from the Tzibor. And now a lot of girsa issues in the Gemara right now. I'm going to skip over all the parentheses. Hayisi Omer Yigavu La. I would have thought that there should be a special fund for this. Meaning, yes, the money has got to come from public money, but as an assessment, as a special fund. The idea that it's coming from just standard lishka money, shumas alishka money, that was the novelty that Rabbi Shimon was describing, and that could perhaps be the discrepancy between the two brisos. It's really unclear. To be honest, it's a little bit unclear how this is going to answer up the discrepancy between the two brises, where one brisa says it comes from the Tzibor, and the other brisa says that it comes from the Yorshim. And now the Gemara is saying, well, I might have thought that there needs to be a special fund, a special assessment. I'm not sure how this is resolving the discrepancy between the two brises, which is probably why there's so much issue in terms of what the correct girsa of the Gemara is. Rabbi Yusuf Amar Rabbi Yochanan Bal Ma'u Shlema Ma'av Say Bay Ma'u Shlema B'Shachrus Shlema Ben Harbayim O Shlema B'Shachrus Ubitla Ben Harbayim. Look, when there's a Kohen Gadol, we know exactly what to do. A full Asir Seifa divided half in the morning, half in the afternoon. That's with a Kohen Gadol. But if there is no Kohen Gadol, and now the Beis Hamikdash is funding this Asir Seifa until the installment of the next Kohen Gadol, how exactly does it work? Full Eifa, in other words, it doesn't get divided. Only the Kohen Gadol divides. So this one doesn't get divided. So does that mean a full Eifa in the morning and a full Eifa in the afternoon? Or no, a full Eifa in the morning and nothing in the afternoon? So Kadu Pshita Le Dechtiv Minchas Tamid. So his answer is Minchas Tamid. Once again, cryptic answer of the Gemara. Minchas Tamid, it's daily and it's daily. It's constant. Okay, so could be morning and afternoon, right? Just like the carbon talmid is morning and afternoon, okay, maybe. Again, a lot of issues in terms of just how to read the Gemara. As we've discussed now for the last 3 weeks, Yushami makes for more difficult reading than what you were used to in the Bavli. Shoshalugim mayin, shoshalugim shachris, shoshalugim bein arbayim, olugum mechza shachris, olugum mechza bein arbayim. How does the oil get divided? Meaning, obviously, there's oil that comes in with this. With the Asir Saifa, it's three logan. So again, if there's a Kohen Gadol, again, not a problem. it gets divided, half in the morning, half in the afternoon. But now, what if there's no Kohen Gadol? And what if now this is being funded by the public money? So, same basic question. Is it three lugin in the morning, three lugin in the afternoon? Or no, or it gets divided. Shosh lugin mayin, shosh lugin shachritz, shosh lugin ben abayim, or lugin mechza shachritz, lugin mechza ben abayim, amar Rabbi Chizkiah, af adat tzricha lei. I asked another question that the Gemara doesn't even answer. Shnei komtzim mayin. In other words, a kamitza. It's a mincha, which means that a komitz is being done from it. So shnei komtzim mayin, shnei komtzim b'shachritz, or shnei komtzim ben arabayim, or komitz achaz b'shachritz, or komitz echad ben arabayim. Two kamitzas in the morning, two kamitzas in the afternoon. One kamitz in the morning, one kamitz in the afternoon. I'm Rav Yussi klum lamdu a komitz from minchas chote. Gemara brings in a discussion that we saw previously. Look, komitz we learn from the minchas chote. Malahalan shnei komtzin, afkan shnei komtzin. Just like over there, two kamitzas, so too over here, two kamitzas. Okay, again, difficult to understand. The minchas chote is not two kamitzas. The minchas chote is one kamitza. So, one komitz. So, really difficult to understand a lot of this Gemara. Amar Rabbi Chizkiah, klum lamdu shoshalugin lami tamashal bein arabayim, ma'alahan shoshalugin, afkan shoshalugin. So, ma'atan taman tzrichalei, afkan tzrichalei. So, and as far as going back to the oil question, three lugin twice a day or three lugin divided into two halves, one half in the morning, one half in the afternoon. So, the Gemara says, look, just like the Karman Tamid, three in the morning, three in the afternoon, here too, three in the morning, three in the afternoon. Okay.
You just don't split it across the board.
Right. Correct. Okay. Adkan, that is the end of the Gemara's discussion regarding the Minchas Chavitin. Okay. A lot of Gemara on this. Nearly an Amud. Right. Started on the top of Chaf Amud Beis and went all the way to the middle of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Let's finish to the Mishnah. Shelo yu Rabbi Shimba Menachem Mishum Rabbi Yonasan Bedinu Shim Alu Behen Ba Vehen Gazru Shelo Yim Alu Ba. So the din is that there should be an isser of me'ila or a din of me'ila, and they made it clear that there should be no me'ila. And we're talking about the paraduma. And the Gemara now is essentially asking the following. The rabbis instituted that there is no me'ila by the ashes of the paraduma. Which, what does it sound like? Sounds like that min haTorah there is me'ila by the ashes, and it's the Chachamim who remove the Isser of Me'ila. Okay. How do they do it? What's the
right?
What's the mechanism in which they do it? I'm not sure. In the meantime, however, our Gemara says, but that's apparently wrong. Meaning that's not even true, that's not even accurate. Once the Paraduma has been burnt, once it's been reduced to ash, there is no Me'ila. We have a general rule by Me'ila. I mean, we've said this already a number of times. That Acher Nasa Mitzvasa, once the mitzvah has been performed, so there's no longer a din of Me'ila. The Parah Aduma, what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to burn it. Once we've burned it, there's no longer an Isser of Me'ila. In fact, the Gemara says, Tini Chatas Malamed Shema'alim Ba, Ba Ma'alin Ve'ein Ma'alim Ba'Efra. There's no Isser of Me'ila by the ashes. And that's not a rabbinic institution. That's a din d'oraisa. So essentially what the Gemara is asking is, I'm not getting it. Our Mishnah makes it sound like this is a din d'rabbanan, that there's no Isser of Me'ila. It's not a din d'rabbanan.
It makes sense that Me'ila is when you use the ashes for something other than sprinkling the water?
Okay. Could be, but the Gemara over here is understanding this emphatically. As like a black and white, it's burnt, there's no longer Me'ila. Amar Rabbi Abahu Berishona hayu mishtak shekin ba v'nosin oso agabe mako sehen. So the Gemara says here's the history of the ashes of the paraduma, and it'll help people understand what's going on over here. Paraduma, what does it do? It's matara people. People are subject to tuma. It's matara people. So it's got healing powers. Of course, those are spiritual healing powers, but it's got healing powers. So originally what people used to do is they used to go to the ashes of the paraduma and said, well, look, and listen, if it heals me spiritually, so I'll put it here, I got a bad rash right on the back of my elbow. So you know what? Let's take a little paraduma, rub it right in over there. Right? Should do the trick, shouldn't it? And people were, the Gemara's terminology is mishtakshikin ba. People were treating it really lightly. And so therefore, v'nosnos agabe makosteim. And were they? And by the way, were they? Did they violate an isser in doing so?
No.
No. I know it sounds crazy, right? The ashes of the paraduma, right? Specifically for the purpose of removing tumas mace. And meanwhile, that's how people treated it. Gazru shiyam aluba. So finally, the chachamim had to step in and say, "We are now imposing a din meila on the ashes." Oh, now we get it. Now it's good. Because, in Achinami, you're right. There is no din me'ilah min ha-Torah on the ashes. It's the Chachamim stepping in. She-nigderu gazru shalo yimalu ba. And after, I don't know, it doesn't say, a month, 2 months, a year, after a while, people realized, oh no, I can't touch the ashes, there's an isra me'ilah. So then, and then they habituated people to stay away from the paraduma. So then they remove the Isra of Me'ila by the ashes. So just to finish up, Alakina Ma'isha, Hazaz Bemaim at Kaperadam, Rav Yitzchak, Tanai Basin, Hiyam, Masapik, Zakinim, Homasapik, Sapsulos Vesa Avudos. A line we've already seen now, this is the third time we've seen it. How is a woman receiving a kapara when her money is being diverted towards another pushka? Answer, either public money, or according to Rabbi Yossi,
the vendor.
The vendor is going to be the one supplying the loss. Hajlach perek Moshe Nimsu. Good, we only have one more perek to go. We also only have one more day to go. Fine. So what I'd like to propose is tomorrow, I know it's an early Shabbos, a half an hour before Mincha, we're going to get together. We're going to do whatever we get to accomplish in that half an hour. And then between Mincha Mariv, we'll finish the Masechta. Okay, so a half an hour before Mincha tomorrow, we'll get together.